Get ready to go on a voyage through the depths of consciousness. Expand your awareness and discover perspective unlike anything you have heard before. How far are you willing to expand? Welcome to The Expansion Point with your host, Brad Johnson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Expansion Point. I am your host, Brad Johnson, and we have a very exciting episode for you tonight, which is going to be all about developing your intuition. And so we're going to really be looking a lot deeper into about how the intuition can be strengthened and how you're able to really make it a part of your life. But before we get into tonight's program, this is just a notice to everyone that this is going to be the second last episode of The Expansion Point happening on BBS Radio. And so effective on July 16th is going to be our official last broadcast here on BBS Radio. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. But, you know, again, there's just a lot of new things coming down the pipe and just basically have to make time for that. But I've really, really enjoyed just being a part of BBS Radio and doing The Expansion Point in here. And so there's going to be some other opportunities that are going to be coming forward. But my love and appreciation and blessings to everybody on BBS Radio, as it has been a very, very fun experience. But there's still two more episodes to go, so we're going to be getting into tonight's show. First of all, please feel free to check out consciousmatrix.com. This is my website. Through that, you are able to take a look at a lot of different private sessions that are available, one-on-one sessions through Conscious Matrix Communication, which I am able to do, as well as live channeling sessions with Adronis, both one-on-one and in group format. There's also Akashic Record readings as well, too. Body Regeneration Healing, which is my own healing method that has really brought out some very staggering positive and powerful results. For those of you who are not familiar with body regeneration healing, consciousmatrix.com tells you all about it, and it is quite fascinating and very powerful in that way from a lot of people that I've worked with throughout its development here in about the last year and a half. It has been very, very astounding. And of course, there are training classes that are available online. This represents, again, body regeneration healing training and a special 8-week class that is all about online intuitive development. So the online intuitive classroom is going to be rolling out this weekend, as well as the body regeneration healing training class is going to be rolling out as well. And there are a couple more slots for both training classes. So again, just feel free to go to consciousmatrix.com. That's C-O-N-S-C-I-O-U-S matrix.com. So we're going to go ahead firstly and get ourselves into a nice relaxed state, just following the breath right now. Just take a deep breath in and let it out slowly and just come into center. And here we go with tonight's broadcast, as we're going to be talking about developing your intuition. And of course, we are always open to having people who would like to call in the later part of the show, as we this is about a 45-minute to a one-hour broadcast. So around that time, about 40 minutes or so ahead of time, we'll be happy to take some calls. So if you want to call in, the number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. All right, developing your intuition. Well, firstly, what we're going to do is we're going to learn about integrating ourselves into inner awareness, relying more upon what the inner knowing is attempting to tell you, and living more into the inner knowing rather than what is being shown to you externally. The external world really is very, very addicting, and a lot of us in that sense, we are even very experienced in being very familiar with our intuition. We can get allured into external reality very, very easily. It's very, very seductive. It's kind of like going into a candy store. You know, you're going to see some very beautiful sweets and beautiful colors, and you just can't wait to unwrap that package. But then all of a sudden you try that candy, and it's not going to taste too good, because it really just relies on feeling that you're just looking at the external and that the internal is almost like a stranger to you. And so the inside of that candy may be very, very unpleasant. So it's about really being able to transform that around to make the candy taste good on the inside as well as still look good on the outside. So it really is being able to look into your inner awareness, rely more upon your inner self. So as you explore your own innerness, you open your senses up to the self. You feel the connection between the body, the mind, and the spirit. And so if you're very, very new to intuition, or if you have been doing this for quite a while, this is just a refresher course for you, helping yourself to tune inwards and feel your own inner universe. And that starts by firstly focusing on the heart, letting your heart being able to expand, letting yourself be able to widen. There has been people who I've been working with who are looking to, you know, greatly expand their intuition. And a lot of them still look at things very, very logically. And it's not to say that logic is at all a bad thing. It certainly can be very, very helpful. But when we look into the aspect in totality relating to logic, logic is all part of setting out a path. It's all about creating a frame set. It's about helping you along the way in regards to how something can function through continuity. You know, logic is all about continuity, and it's always about grounding yourself and going with the flow in physical reality. But when you're really going into intuition, you want to follow the heart. Your heart needs to be very, very open, and it needs to be very active. And in order for that to happen, you really need to become very much at one with your feelings. And, you know, for a lot of us guys, so to speak, that has been one of the biggest challenges. When I really wanted to go into intuition myself and follow, you know, the aspects of channeling and energy healing, for example, I had to, you know, really look at myself in the mirror and say, you know, Brad, thank you so much for this life. You are the best self I could possibly ask for. Blessings to you. Love to you. Thank you so much for being you. In that very first little while, that was very, very hard for me to do. I didn't even like looking at myself in the mirror, really. You know, I could look at myself for a few seconds and then after that, leave, because I couldn't imagine myself going into the L word, which represented love. It was really, really hard for me to say that, to actually go into the mirror and say, Brad, I love you. Thank you so much for being you. That was a hard, hard, challenging, difficult, you know, unbelievable thing for me to do at that time, because I always felt I was of service to others, that I was here on this planet just to make everybody else feel good. And it wasn't so much about what I wanted. It wasn't so much about me actually being able to be appreciative of myself. No, I'm just going to put myself out of the picture and let everybody else, you know, get what they deserve, while I'll be their catalyst for that. And that was the backwards thinking. And so as I started to go into the spiritual awakening in August of 2008, it took, you know, quite some time. It was quite a few weeks before I actually had enough courage to go into the mirror and really look into myself. You know, many minutes passed by, and it was almost like a teary-eyed experience as well, too. You really have to connect with your heart. The heart is the gateway. It is the epicenter to your feeling and to your empathy. And this is the prime source relating to how you are developing your intuition, is that your heart needs to be open. Because I can have a lot of people that want to be very intuitive, and I'll just say, okay, well, I'd like you to scan me right now, and I just want you to feel my emotional state through your heart. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. And I would say, okay, is there a reason why? Oh, I just don't feel it, you know. You know, and it's basically that they're getting so much into the logical. This is illogical. It's you know, it's a Spock moment, so to speak, that the logic itself is taking over, and that, you know, one of the aspects that I do, one of the modalities I do for one developing their intuition, is to help them connect with the heart, really being able to feel that emotional awareness. But even more than the idea of an emotional awareness is the state of feeling, because emotions themselves are just an extreme to feeling. It's when you're just opening your heart up, you're letting the possibilities that are open to you become as they truly are. You're being centered in this very moment. So what you have to do to become intuitive is let yourself be open in this very moment, as open as you possibly can. Let all the possibilities be on the table for you. In this moment, you are at your most powerful. In this moment, anything is possible in regards to what you choose to do, what you choose to become, who you think you are, who you think you want to be, what you feel you wish to explore. All of that is available right here and right now, and that is the most powerful moment. So as you start to open yourself up, and you're just starting to explore yourself, just start off very gingerly at first if you need to. Just be very subtle in your explorations. Oh, I meditated for about 5 minutes today. That's great. How did it feel? It's all right, I guess. That becomes a very, very common statement, so to speak, with people who are very new to opening up their intuition. And the reason why a lot of people have come to me to open up their intuition is because they have had some type of experience. They have had something that has really touched them and brought them into some strong form of fascination with their own intuitive ability. That may just be having a very profound dream that they saw themselves, you know, opening themselves up and becoming, wanting to become a channeler or a psychic or a healer. And they became very, very interested in it, but they really weren't too sure again still about what that entailed. And it really just comes down to the heart, and it comes down to the state of feeling. There have been others in that sense who felt that they've been very inspired by many other speakers and experts from around the internet. You know, they feel that they get inspired by Abraham Hicks, or they get inspired by Bashar, or they get inspired by Deepak Chopra or Greg Braden, etc., whoever else, and that they want to get involved with this. This is something that has just rung a bell in their mind and saying, yes, I want to do this. I want to become intuitive. I want to develop my psychic ability. I want to become superhuman, you know. And it's not to say that that isn't the point. You know, you can certainly feel like you are superhuman in this way when you're developing your intuition, when you're able to tap into another person's energy through their permission and being able to sense their energies. That is a superhuman trait, absolutely. But it's basically making the superhuman just plain human. And that's the whole idea, is that there is the natural and there is the supernatural, but the supernatural only exists because we feel it has always been beyond us. And so we're just bringing that super trait, so to speak, into ourselves to make the supernatural. So now we're being naturally super, or superbly natural, you know, in that state of a paradox. But going back to the point to where you are opening yourself up to all the possibilities, letting yourself be open to everything that comes into your mind, and realize that you are boundless in this very moment. What you want to do next is you want to trust what you are receiving. So if you hesitate, then opportunities are going to pass you by, and energies that are basically attempting to knock on your own internal door, so to speak, are just going to cease. And so if you're not trusting what you're receiving, you're basically kinking the hose. The water flowing through that hose is not going to be as strong when you're really just trying to kink it, and it may even just be minimal or even cease. It all depends upon your grip. Because the logical mind just wants to barge in, like, oh my God, will you let me in? Let me in. This is a bunch of BS, you know, that you're getting this stuff. You're connecting to your higher self and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And your higher self wants to get in there and just, or not your higher self, I should say, your ego wants to get in there, and logic wants to get in there and make it feel that it, you know, it, okay, this is it. You know, step aside. I'm in charge here. This is ridiculous. Get back to reality. What are you thinking? And that's what the logical mind, the ego, wants to do. It wants to feel that it's created this fail-safe that cannot be bypassed. You cannot hop over the ego gates, right? So again, the trust is the is a very, very strong key concept here. You need to trust what you're receiving. When you're opening yourself up, you're opening up your crown chakra, you're opening up your heart, you're letting all of that information starting to flow through. But if you're just not trusting it, you're not trusting the messages that are coming through, you're too busy focusing on the identity of the consciousness that's trying to come through and giving this, oh, who's this? Who's this giving me this guidance? You know, follow the love that is your bliss. Follow the bliss that is your love. You know, if that's your message, and the ego wants to come, oh, who is this? Who's talking? Who is this right now? Who is this in my mind? And it's all about trying to discover an identity in regards to the natural message that's coming through. And Adronis has said this many times, it's not so important in regards to who is giving you the messages. It's not about the messenger, it's about the message. It's about how the message has conveyed itself to you and how it makes you feel and what you feel you can do to make that message into your reality, make it a part of your reality in some form. That's the key. You want to be able to trust the receiving of the message. And one other concern I get from people is the feeling that, well, you know, Brad, I start to do automatic writing. You know, I go into the channeling state. I open myself up. I just let myself with all the possibilities of, you know, my guidance to come through. And I start writing down this information, but I stop at a point because I feel that my mind is making this up. that my intuition is just being made up right now. So what do I do in that situation? And my response is, you write it down anyways. You do not concern yourself about what you feel is, oh, wait, I heard this from Bashar before, or I heard this from Adronis before, or I heard this from Deepak Chopra before, whoever it may be, right? And you feel that you want to stop. Oh, my goodness, that's imagination because I heard all this before. Not necessarily. This is something that is being, once again, conveyed to you in some form that you may be similarly familiar with. But it's being shown to you again. It's being revealed to you again because you're not acting upon the impulse of what the message represents. There's a really big difference between knowing and actually doing, to actually have it become experience and wisdom. And that's the key. You can know all the things. You can have all the books you want. You can listen to all the experts you want. But if you do not act upon what is being shared in the overall message that they represent as a catalyst to you, then this is why it's going to continue to repeat, because this is what you are meant to receive. You know, follow your flow, trust your guidance, be in your flow. You know, if that's your message and you've heard that all the time before through many channels or many spiritual facilitators, etc., it's not that your mind is making it up, so to speak. It's that your mind is reminding you. Precisely, you know, whether it be higher mind or your own physical mind or your own memories or a combination of both, it doesn't matter. Let the raw source in regards to the guidance flow through and let it be. So what does that mean? So follow my guidance, follow my heart. You know, what is that telling me? It's basically telling you to open yourself up and trust more of the mind, of the heart. Let your flow come in, not so much about the over-perception or the over-analysis of thoughts coming through your logic. Let the logic wind itself down and let the feeling side of yourself strengthen. Let that grow. Let that be a seed that is sprouting. See it transforming into a beautiful flower. Watch that flower blossom. That's the whole key. You want to be mindful of your interpretation with guidance. Look into your own authentic view of perspectives rather than what another has defined. So again, this is going back to, you know, the spiritual books, the metaphysical books, the mediators and the facilitators, the experts, so to speak. A lot of them have a really great, profound information. There's absolutely no doubt. But really, it's all meant to be taken into context based upon how it relates to you. There may be something that someone really says that is just profound to you, that really just opened doors, and that's amazing. Absolutely. Now it's about you being able to go into that door that you triggered through yourself with this other person acting as catalyst for you to go into that door and explore your intuition further. Somebody could say something that was just really, really profound to you. It was just an aha moment. It was a huge download that you got. And wow, incredible. Now you are the one who's going to open that door. It's not about saying, oh, that's cool. A door opened. Okay, time to go get some dinner. You know, it's not about feeling that as this door opens, you say, oh, that was cool. Now I got to go and do something else. You know, that door is open, so why feel that it needs to be left open? Why not go inside that door and explore what's on the other side? When you have these revelations, when you have these aha moments and these downloads based upon interpretation that someone has given you, or that you just feel you have this thought, and all of a sudden, boof, it's opened up this incredible revelation in yourself. Your interpretation is serving you. So an interpretation from another serving as catalyst. An interpretation from your own thought, where the thought is serving as catalyst for yourself, for you to go and move more into your own authenticity. That's what the door is representing. This is your own authentic aspect that's on the other side of this door. Go through that door and explore that authentic aspect of yourself, rather than feeling that you have to do a modality, a ritual, a practice based upon what one other person has felt worked for them. And here's the big thing. Just because it works for somebody else, it does not mean it's going to work for you. If a person in that sense is saying, well, just go into a meditation state, you know, turn off all the lights, make sure there's not one sound in your room, in your environment, and just imagine the color purple. Just see a bunch of purple in your mind. Because as soon as you start seeing purple and then you start moving into violet, you know, these beings are going to come into you and they're going to talk to you and all that, you know. That's great, and that works very well for that particular individual. That's not to say that everybody on the planet that turns off their lights and not have one sound in their room, their environment is completely silent, they go into the meditative state and they start visualizing purple and violet, that all these beings are going to start coming in, right? Everybody is different. Reality is by interpretation. We all have a unique perspective about how we are able to expand and explore ourselves internally. You need to develop your own method, and you need to see exactly what this does for you to open more doors, to be able to look into how your intuition can be, brought into a wider context. When you feel a door internally open, explore it. That's the key. Soon as you have that aha moment, act upon that aha moment. Work with that download, finding out exactly where it takes you. Because as you start to do that, you are now in the vibration of allowing these aha moments to become more prolific. You're now allowing them to become more because now you're acting upon these download states. You're moving more into the authenticity arrangement. And now authenticity is bringing you into more pure thoughts. And that's what you want. When you're an intuitive, if you have pure thoughts, that's fantastic. Now, what do I mean when I say pure thoughts? Thoughts that are not manifested through you based upon certain dogmas or modalities given by somebody else. When you have a true pure thought, it is something that you have never thought before, something that is just a revelation to you, something that has just transformed yourself. So a person in that sense who really understands to astral project, for example, based upon their own authentic method that they did, that's a pure thought. Person who is able to sense telepathic feelings through others by their own expression, by what they were able to discover through themselves, that's a purity of thought. And that's basically what's happening, is that you're letting the purity of thought coming through like a rushing river to you, starting at the top of the head, flowing all the way down to the bottom of the feet, and just passing through you like water. That's the key. That's what you want. You always want thought to be in constant movement, constant process. It's not about a Venus flytrap where you close the walls in and you got the thought bug inside, right? You want to keep yourself open. You're not Venus flytrapping any thoughts. You're letting the thoughts be one with you and flowing together with you and just being able to express them until they feel that they no longer serve a purpose anymore. So that's working together with thoughts as an ally, not to feel that you own the thoughts, that the thoughts are owned by you, that ideas are owned by you, and that the thoughts own you in that way. It's not about ownership. It's about borrowing. You're going into a library and you're borrowing out a book, and you have it for a certain time. You read the book and you bring it back. All right, now it's to be borrowed by somebody else. That's the key. You want to be a librarian when it comes to thoughts, letting the thought be taken out and then bring it back once you're done with it. You've utilized it all to the form of allowing it to take you on an adventure, taking you on an experience. And now that experience has been served. All right, take that thought back. Thank you so much, thought, for that. That was great. That was wonderful. That's interpretation. That's the whole idea, is you're letting the interpretation of the thought helping you to direct your action into life. And that's the flow of guidance, okay? So that's the interpretation. So you want to be open, you want to trust what you are receiving, and you want to be mindful of how you interpret your guidance. That's the key. Not feeling that you have to do something else because it worked for somebody else. Look into your own natural authenticity. A lot of what I share and what I help people to explore is their own authenticity, is basically giving them ideas about how they can stimulate their own ideas. It is an idea to help them stimulate their own ideas. That's the key. And that's a path of authenticity. It's an anti-systematic system. It's what Adronis has also referred to as fractal group thinking. And basically what that means is that you are taking a theme of an idea and you're going into the theme like a fractal pattern, like a Mandelbrot set, for example. And no matter how much you zoom in, you're always going to maintain the foundation of how that fractal pattern appears. So the fractal theme of that understanding is always going to be intact, yet no matter how much you go inside it, it's going to be infinite. Infinite possibilities within the finite. And this is fractal group thinking. And this is how you want to allow yourself to be in a fractal group thinking paradox when you're utilizing intuition. There's no limits to what you can do. And it's just, it's us constantly giving us permission to do this. It's us saying, okay, well, I'm going to now explore this as a channel. I'm now going to explore this as a healer. Here's what I feel I can do to get started. And as long as our logic is not in that sense destroyed or escaped, but basically brought to the point to where we are allied with our logic. We are allied with the ego. We're not destroying the ego. We're not killing the ego. You can't have killing and destroying in regards to feel that you're going to become enlightened. The whole idea is that enlightenment is about alliance. It's about family. It's about unity. It's about coming together as one in relationship and complement. That's the key. That's how you want to embrace yourself, to explore yourself and further enlighten yourself by aligning with aspects of yourself, not feeling that you have to take a knife and stab something to death because it's annoying you. You know, that's not how the universe works. The universe isn't going to say, you know what, I hate that planet, it sucks. Kaboom! And it blows it up. You know, it's not going to do that, right? It's not just going to say, I just didn't like the way it looked. You know, it was too gaseous for me. Your God. Oh. You know, the universe understands the nature of balance. And so this is all we're attempting to reciprocate, is reciprocate the level of balance through ourselves. All right? So just something to be mindful of. Look into your life to spot what you are still holding on to that distracts you from being present. Remember that memory itself represents attachment. So if you are constantly holding grudges to people, you know, in that way, then in order for one to even hold a grudge against another person, it all takes memory. It's not to say that you need to forget how to draw or how to forget how to write or how to forget how to speak, etc. Those are fine because memory itself holds certain technical prowess to it as well, too. Learning how to walk, learning how to write, learning how to read, learning how to do a lot of these, you know, great functions that help you be complementary to your life. If you are going to utilize memory, let it be something that is of a benefit to you rather than the idea of feeling that memory itself that holds attachment that is detrimental to you is the way that you need to be. So really look into the aspects of where you feel that you are holding on to a memory attachment of something that does not serve you. So memory itself represents those states of attachment. When you feel that you look at a person who maybe you had a hard time with several years ago and you were able to make amends, you were able to forgive that person, able to forgive yourself and achieve liberation, and that person's talking to you a lot more regularly, the last thing you even think about is what they did to you years back. That memory has been transcended, and now new opportunities are coming together. You're best friends with this person again, and you're getting along very, very well, and you're helping each other out, and you're becoming complementary catalysts for each other. That's fantastic. That's exactly what you want. You want to be able to continue to let that flow, that the memory that represents your good times is complementary to your position. It's not about the feeling that the attachment memory representing negative connotation is still very, very strong with you. So you want to go back in regards to these severe attached states of memory, of feeling what it represents to you and being able to remember that it's all about cleansing that through, realizing that as I cleanse this through, as I move into that, my goodness, I'm going to be a lot more intuitive because now I feel a lot more present. I don't feel that I'm dwelling what happened 5 years ago with my ex-partner or that I had this issue with my mother last month and I still haven't been able to forgive it, even though it wasn't even really that big of a deal. You know, she lost my car keys, whatever it may be. But everything in regards to where the severe attachment of memory is taking you, let that be resolved. Come into that state and being able to bring positive reinforcement to that memory. If you have a very, very tragic memory from childhood, then find out exactly how you can create a positive reinforcement for that memory. So if you're going to take that particular negative connotation of a memory, demagnetize that with a positive charge and just allow those energies to come together, and now it brings into harmony. It brings those two particular magnetics together, and now there is a harmonic memory to it. There's something very blissful about that. I have been able to time travel just through perspective, through my consciousness. And that's exactly what we're capable of doing. We only validate what is real based upon our own sense of meaning. And so if we give so much meaning to a certain situation that is really just draining us and preventing us from becoming intuitive, then we're just going to constantly, you know, give our power over to that distraction rather than being present. So really take that negative connotation and bring it into a positive reinforcement, combine the two and make that into harmony, into a state of neutrality. That's exactly what will happen. And again, let your thoughts pass through you like a river. When thoughts attach, you still provide them with a deep meaning regardless of their polarity. So again, it's not about feeling that you need to be airy-fairy in that way. You know, you have to jump up so high and float in the sky and touch a rainbow. You know, and you know, as well as that is, that's fine. But really, that's not the point. You're not in this life to be overly positive. That's not the key. Positive energy simply functions as a counterbalance. That's what it represents. When you're bringing positive energy into your life, you're utilizing that as a tool to counterbalance negative connotation so that you're bringing everything into the green. You're not going off into another side of the red spectrum through positivity. You're not being airy, fairy, and floaty, because even though positivity feels really, really great and it feels wonderful, you know, you're still seeing those voltage spikes on the meter. You're seeing this very, very intense sine wave. And that particular positive emotion that's keeping you contained in reality, well, that's it. That's that little tiny box that you're still in, because all that matters is that moment. And again, where it does feel good, yeah, play that out. Now, work on rebalancing yourself. Work on enjoying yourself by coming into the bliss of the moment. And bliss itself represents the state of neutrality. It's to where everything is available to you. You understand the nature of omnipresence. That's the key. Set an outline of goals that you would like to achieve for yourself. Now, remember that goals are not meant to be exactly met, but followed through in essence to allow change along the way. It's not that you're in an archery field and you have your bow and arrow. You need to hit a bullseye every single time, or I swear to God, God will smite you down. You know, it's not about that. You know, it's not about trying to hit a bullseye every single time that you have a goal. Goals are going to be revergent. Because we are living within a reality that has 7 billion people on this planet, then our particular versions of reality are going to be met through timing. And they are going to be reversioned appropriately in regards to the feedback of the collective consciousness. So if you want a big, gigantic car, and you know it's got to be red, and it's going to have four doors, and there's got to be a brand new stereo system in it and everything, and you're having really, really, really strong specifics about that, that's great and that's fine and dandy, and you may be able to imagine that very, very well within your own singular form of reality based upon your imagination. But when that finally manifests, you may realize, okay, well, there's no stereo. All right, well, it's two-door, it's red, but there's a two-door here and it doesn't have that big kind of honking stereo. You know what? I feel that this is good. You know, I still enjoy it. It's not 110% what I wanted, but you know, I'm very happy with what I have here. I'll take it, right? So the whole idea is that these are being versioned. And that's not to say that as you have the car, you can upgrade it, right? Put a new stereo in it, you know, put leather seats in it, whatever it may be. That's still opportunity. So the whole idea is that goals themselves are not meant to be met at the bullseye. They are simply meant to be a mark, a beacon for you to follow generally. And that other opportunities may even come along the way to bring you into something more amazing, more phenomenal. Okay, so when you are developing your intuition and you're feeling, okay, I want to astral project, you know, I want to be in lucid dreaming, I want to, you know, channel just deep trance states, I want to be completely unconscious about what I'm doing and this and that and this and that and this and that, those are all right, those are goals. For certain, you may not be able to astral project for quite some time. I still haven't been able to astral project nearly for 6 years right now. But lucid dreaming experiences, absolutely. I've certainly had close calls with astral projection, but nothing in regards to the full out, as it were. And that's okay, because that was one of my goals to get started. Oh my God, astral projection sounds so exciting. I really want to get into this. This is absolutely amazing. You know, I would love to go into like a deep trance state and be completely unconscious about what I received and just have everything recorded down. My God, wouldn't that be exciting? And that's not how it worked with me. With me, it's that I'm going into a consciousness state, an altered consciousness state with Adronis coming through and just having this state of heightened connectivity and still kind of just being in the background while Adronis is coming through. And I am completely 100% fine with that. And, you know, it's not what I felt that, you know, my mark was to hit about being completely in deep trance, because I really wanted that. That was something that was so powerful to me, saying, oh my goodness, my own ego will be completely out of the way. Adronis will come through 100% in his own words. And I will have no memory of this at all. And I just have to reflect back on the recording. And I attempted to do that. And could not be done. It's just, and basically guidance was telling me, you don't need to go that deep. You will train yourself naturally to just be in the background and let Adronis come through. And in that blending, some really great information and insight and phenomena will take place. And it most certainly has. So that's just me giving the example of how a goal itself is met to a certain criteria. But again, I didn't hit the bullseye. I certainly hit the board, so to speak, with the target, but it was not always on the bullseye. And again, that's the whole idea. The goals themselves are never meant to be 100% met. They're only representing a walkthrough, a trail of breadcrumbs that may lead you into something completely different. So be mindful of that. Again, open yourself widely to feeling. Logic does serve a purpose, but holds no essence to sensing empathy. Empathy is a strong part to intuition and telepathy. Empathy doesn't necessarily deal with emotion, although it certainly can. It can be strongly sensed, but empathy functions more to feeling, balanced sensation. That's what empathy is. When you're empathic, you are sensitive to balanced sensation, right? So when a person is very, very tranquil, you know, you may see a Zen monk, you know, sitting on a rock, just quietly meditating, and you may see him, you know, about 100 yards away. You know, you take out a pair of binoculars and you're able to see him a little bit, and you can just tap into his energy, and it is so calming. It is so flowing. Is he in an extreme emotional state? No, man. He's feeling very tranquil. He's feeling very zen. It feels great. I can feel his energy very, very strongly. So I tapped into that empathic feeling. He's not going off into an extreme of emotion. He's feeling very, very blissed out. He's feeling very zen and very tranquil, and I can sense that. And there'll be times too where I can sense people are holding things back. It's not that they're even showing emotional states. They have a big poker face on them, but you're able to tap into them and you're feeling that they are holding things back. There's certain things that they don't want you to look into them to get a feeling of, but nonetheless, you can feel it. So it's not always about detecting emotion. Again, emotion is the extreme. It represents the lowering of consciousness. So again, the reason why it's lowering consciousness is because that's your focus. Your focus is so strong on that emotional state, overwhelmingly strong, that nothing else can come into your reality. It's the forefront. It is the, you know, intense forefront that represents the emotional states. That's just like a voltage meter, you know, going from, you know, top of the page to the bottom of the page in these waves. That's what emotion does, and that's precisely what it's all about. And that when you're empathic, you're just prone to feeling. You are being very mindful and very aware of the feelings that come through. As you open yourself up further, practice your intuition on others with their permission. It's very, very important to just be very permission-based in regards to people that you want to demonstrate on. If you want to give intuitive readings to, if you want to, you know, perform a healing on them, whatever it may be, intuitive healing, intuitive readings, whatever it may be. Let their permissions come through. This is just a very kind act in that way. This is basically showing that you have respect for their energy, you have a respect for their space, you have a respect for who they are, and that it is permission-based. And there are some people who have come up to me and said, you know what, Brad, I would really like you to do a reading for my husband, but he doesn't believe in all this. Can you just scan him without his permission? And I say, no, I cannot do that. I'm sorry. There needs to be some type of familiarity. He needs to be somewhat open to this. He may just say, oh, I don't care, go ahead, let him scam me, I don't care. That's fine then, you know, because he has at least given me some form of permission to continue with that. But I do not scan people without permission. That's just simply how it is. And it's all about a respect quality that I've brought in, that I've learned from others as well too. And I feel it's been very, very beneficial, because it's really just showing mutual respect. You know, would I like people scanning me all the time when I'm not giving them permission? No, absolutely not, because that can be intrusions that can take place there. And so it's really, really important that you ask for permission when doing any type of intuitive reading or intuitive work on other people. But open your heart and feel the heart of another. Listen to what their energy wishes to share with you. So be open, listen, trust yourself, and allow interpretation to flow. That's the key. So again, you're open to the universe, so all possibilities that can come through. You're listening, so you're seeing all that wide ocean of possibility, and now you're starting to surf along a certain path upon that ocean through listening. You're trusting what you're receiving. Yes, you are surfing in the ocean. You're on a surfboard. You're enjoying yourself. Don't worry about debating it. Don't feel that you have to throw yourself into another distraction that takes you out of the moment. And allow interpretation to flow. Let the ocean communicate with you, to share what it is all about with you, and interpret your sensation to that response. Let it flow through. Maybe that's just going, yoo-hoo, you know, shouting out loud and just enjoying yourself with the ride. Be mindful to your own way of interpretation. When intuitively sensing others, be of service as a guide and a mediator. You are not there to change their life. Only show people aspects of themselves as a catalyst reflection to them. And it's very, very funny, because I do see a lot of people, you know, on social media, and they get so frustrated with the human race. They get so frustrated and say, okay, people, come on, seriously, this is the way to live. I mean, how can you not get this stuff? How can this not make common sense to you, that we're this and we're that, and that we're all connected, and, you know, and that we just need to love each other? And why can't you people feel that? What the heck is wrong with you? You need to listen to me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when people really go to that extreme, a person's natural reaction is to completely turn away from them. And it's not to say that they're not correct, but here's the thing. It's not your job to share exactly what another person needs to feel, because you have to remember exactly that there is a point in your life where you weren't there. It's not to say that people aren't ever going to turn around. It's that you must have their own certainty of allowing them to experience that for themselves when the timing is appropriate for them, where they hit that aha moment and they start to turn themselves around. That will take place. You're just not the catalyst for this at this time. Maybe you're the catalyst a few years from now. It doesn't, you know, whatever may happen. But it's not about you feeling that you're just getting so frustrated with the human race, and look what we're doing to the animals, and look what we're doing to the environment, and look what we're doing to each other. Yes, those are all valid points, absolutely. But it's not for you to feel that you're on top of the hill and giving a sermon on the mount, right? It's about you realizing that, all right, I see these things happening, and here's what I'm going to do about it. Here's what I feel my example is to do something about it. And when you start to portray your example, then other people are going to get really, really inspired by this. Oh my goodness, that was great. I saw what she did. I saw what he did as a you know, mediator, as a service facilitator, as a guide. This is very, very fascinating. Hey, maybe I'll join along, right? I'm not pressuring anybody to follow me. I'm not pressuring anybody to go on the service on top of the mound and start preaching with me, right? I'm doing this because this is who I am. I'm doing this because this is what I feel I can do to approach this matter and to feel my own personal resolution to it and my own solution to it. That's fantastic. That's exactly what you want to do. It's not about feeling that you have to give other people a hard time because they cannot grasp what you understand at this time. And that's fine. We all have different layers to ourselves where we're able to, you know, understand that we went through all of this turmoil ourselves in order for us to understand this personal illumination that feels so good. It's not about feeling that you have to scoop out so much of your light and form it into a snowball and pelt a person right across the face. Hey, be of the light, damn it. You know, that's not the way to go. So it really is just the whole idea that your light are rays of light, and that they are not, you know, tapping a person on the shoulder so violently, decking them across the face and say, hey, punk, It's light time. Come on, man. It's about that the light itself is subtle and it will always spread itself out, and that it's all up to a person in regards to who resonates with you as catalyst to bringing in that realization that this is where we're going. Yes, this is absolutely it. Thank you so much for your example, your inspiration in that way. I've been an example. I've been an inspiration to this other person. And this person feels that because they've simply attracted me into their life to serve as a catalyst in order for them to understand that everything is catalyst. Everything is all about being able to be in the right place at the right time. And it's all about timing. That's the key. And you will always be a catalyst for somebody. Absolutely. You'll be a catalyst for yourself in regards to certain feeling states, in regards to certain emotional outbursts that then transform into great resolutions. Absolutely. That is definitely very possible. But you have to allow yourself to realize that you're doing this. You're on a spiritual path, not because of your Uncle Bob, not because of your mom, not because of your dad, not because the world tells you to, otherwise it's going to blow up. You're on this planet to spiritually enlighten yourself because there's only one reason. It's who you are. That's it. You should not be doing it for any other reason. And that's the key, is being able to say, this is me, this is who I am, this is why I do that. It's the only reason I do this, because this is me, this is who I am. This is a missing part of me that has been, you know, out of my life for so long. And it wasn't until just under 6 years ago where I started to realize this. I started to bring it into my life. I have nobody really to thank for that other than those who have served as catalyst, but really it was me that got this realization, that decided for me, this is who I am. This is the missing piece of my life. This is part of who I am. Now, if I ever take that and try to shove it down someone's throat, I'm no different than trying to be a governmental body, of trying to be a dictator, of trying to be a tyrant, you know, trying to shove this down a person's throat. I'm not looking to create a religion for anybody. I'm not looking to feel that I need to be their almighty master and then they need to bow down to me and feel that they need to put me on a pedestal. It's the whole idea that this is who I am and this is what I do. And that should be the reason for you, for your spiritual journey, for your spiritual development, for developing your intuition and letting yourself flow. That's the whole key, is letting yourself be a guide and a mediator, not a tyrant. Not a feeling that you have to do this, you have to do that. Oh my God, people, hurry up. World's going to explode tomorrow if we don't all just, you know, have 7 billion of us that are going to be spiritually enlightened. Newsflash for you, there's not going to be 7 billion enlightened people on this planet right now. It's not going to happen. Really, when we're looking at the population, we maybe have about a 10 to 15% of people that are going onto the spiritual path right now, that are moving into self-understanding, self-fulfillment. That's it. And that over the years, the percentages will definitely go up. But it's not about feeling that 100% of the population is going to flash in and that we are going to be super enlightened beings soon as tomorrow. You know, that was the December 21st, 2012 feeling. All of us are going to turn to light beings and we're going to go off into heaven and to hell with earth. No, that was not the understanding at all. All right. But remember, the wider your heart is, the more open you will be to intuition. The heart is the epicenter to pure feeling within your body. As that opens up, all other centers within your body will naturally blossom in kind. Follow the flow of natural feeling and well-being, and your body will reciprocate the mental and emotional balances you experience. That's the whole thing, is really just letting your heart, helping you to open yourself up and adjust yourself accordingly, and your body will reciprocate. I mean, it's great when I see people who are, you know, being very conscientious and mindful of their diets and being very conscientious and mindful about their thought patterns, about what they're looking to think each day. That's fantastic. But again, everything will really start to arrange itself appropriately when you just spend some time with yourself, when you really start to look into the mirror and say, can I look into myself in the mirror and give myself a confession of myself and feel that, yes, I do love myself no matter what has gone through? And when you do that, your heart opens and you become a profound intuitive. You let the heart open up. And so you have to really be mindful of letting intuition flow through feeling. And that's the key. If you can be a very feeling person, if you can be sensitive, and it's all just starting with yourself. You can be sensitive to your own paths, to your own feelings, to your own mindfulness of where everything has gathered you here to this moment. And you know what? I had to go through all of those turmoils in order for me to get to where I am right now. Thank you so much, turmoil. It's great. It was wonderful. You know, and there may be other people that say, oh, well, you know, I'm such a good person, but why did I attract, you know, getting into this karmic partnership of being attacked and being harmed, etc.? You know, I'm a good person. Why did that attract that to me? Well, because there are aspects within yourself that you do not realize that were attracting these particular people in your life. Because again, just because you're the most loving and wonderful and most positive person and beautiful person on the planet, that does not mean that you're not going to experience challenges. That does not mean that you're going to have certain people that want to present an opportunity to take advantage of you. That's the whole key. It's not about, again, jumping over the rainbow and thinking that you're going to do backflips and land on your feet, right? It's about being able to be very mindful about who you feel you are in all the spectrums of being that it represents. That represents, you know, of course, being very positive and allowing the positive to function as a counterbalance. But also be very discerning, not to feel that everything on this planet has to do with you. That there are going to be certain situations that have nothing to do with you at all. And that you decide, oh my goodness, I got to fix this. This is for me to do. I got to go do it. Doesn't mean it has to be about you. You know, there's going to be a lot of things that you will be looking into that do have to do with you. But just because the world is going through this fluctuation doesn't mean that us and us alone have to be responsible to pick it up, to pick everybody up, to give everybody a good slap in the face and say, snap out of it. Come on, wake up. No, it's not about telling people to wake up. That's the key. And that's what I had to learn as well too. You're not here to tell anybody to wake up. You've woken up. And that's the key. You're basically, when you're trying to slap a person in your face, you're slapping yourself back in the face and telling yourself to wake up. I've already woken up and I'm still going off into this, you know, tangent of feeling that I have to wake everybody else up. No, you don't. You're playing with an aspect that has nothing to do with you. Let it go. Transcend it. And let the energies of the flow that are your true nature to function without hesitation, without resistance, without conflict to come together. And you will start attracting other catalysts within your life that will be representative and reciprocative of your own particular awakening experience. It's not that you have to run off in the street and saying, hey, you awake? No. Bam. You know, slapping everybody you see. Wake up, damn it, wake up. That's not what it's about. It's about you being able to look into yourself and saying, well, I'm going to invite people into my life that I love attracting these kinds of people and listing those specifics down. Oh my goodness, I invited people in my reality and now my reality is feeling so good. I'm attracting so many people in the forefront of my reality. My inner circle is filled with amazing people. And I'll give you guys a truth with that. That's my inner circle. My inner circle is filled with amazing people. I don't really have any devastating kind of people in my life anymore. That's gone. That's in the background. That's in the outer circles. My inner circle is filled with just really, really amazing people that I talk to all the time, whether it be friends, you know, people I'm just meeting for the first time, etc. It's fantastic. And that's just a key of what I said. I'm inviting in these people that are complementary to my relationship, that are complementary to myself, because this is how I'm feeling inside. You're always going to still see minor characters in the background and still feel them that they're having hard times, but they don't play a major role in your life anymore. You're playing the major role with yourself in your inner circle for people that are majorly a part of your life, and they are reflecting in complement to you. The minor characters will at times have fluctuations and feel that they are very, very upset, that they are feeling very imbalanced with themselves, and that's fine. They represent a minor characteristic. Blessings to those guys. All the best to you guys, you know, and much love. And you continue to focus on your inner circle. Of course, you're giving blessings to everybody. You would love to see everybody on this planet to really be enriched and to help people out. I would absolutely love that. But it's not up to one person. It's that they need the time for them to reach that point of arrangement to where that will be possible. And that's the whole key. Okay, so this is just a little bit more than developing your intuition. This is helping you to develop a lot more of yourself. But this all leads back to intuitive ability, is really to feel that you don't have to be so harsh on yourself or others. And it's just about really looking back into the reflection. We're going to have, shades of gray everywhere we look. But as long as our inner circle is very complementary to what we do and we are inviting in the people into our reality that represent that complement, you're going to attract your own world that represents the versions of people who are awoken, of people that follow what you do, people who are very like-minded, environments and opportunities that are very complementary to your position. That's the whole key. Create your form of invitation-based reality, and you will see the perceptions unfold in this way. All right, guys, so we are out of time for today. So thank you so much for tuning in to today's broadcast. And again, I will see you all, everybody, in the next 2 weeks for our last broadcast here on The Expansion Point on BBS Radio. So again, any questions in regards to this episode, please feel free to contact me by email if you like, info@consciousmatrix.com. Or you can go ahead and visit my website. Again, it's www.consciousmatrix.com. So thank you so much, everybody, for tuning into the broadcast. I always just love talking about these great forms of topics that come into the show, and they always expand a lot more than I think. But again, that's exceeding expectations. So thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. And if you missed tonight's show, don't worry. You'll be able to access the archive here within about the next 24 hours. And thanks again, everybody. And I will talk to you again in the next 2 weeks. Namaste. May it be well with you. And I will talk to you soon. Have a good night. Take care.